Today's episode is brought to you by 5-4 Club. Oh yeah, baby. You've heard of them. I know you have. You know why? Because they dress people like Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, Zac Efron, Aziz Ansari, Don Cheadle, and Adam Ray. Yeah, well, let me tell you how I got to learn about 5-4 Club. I'm a dude who doesn't have time to shop, okay? I don't really like to shop. And what I do like are people who know clothes, who know style, and want to help people like me out, okay? When you sign up to be a member of 5-4 Club for $60 a month, only $60 a month, here's what you get, okay? You get proven style, recommendations, and advice from top stylists who just want to make you look good and educate you on how to wear certain pieces. They're not trying to make your wardrobe for you. They just want to help educate you on how to create your vibe, your style. It's an easy sign-up process, all right? You go in, you personalize your style preferences, create a profile, and whether you're looking for clothes for the office, the club, just a chill weekend or whatever, 5-4 has you covered. There are four style profiles, okay? Classic, casual, forward, and mix. You create these, and the guys put together a box of dope clothes for you and send it to your place, to your doorstep, direct delivery, free shipping. Free shipping. So few businesses do that, all right? Go to 5-4 Club right now. Sign up. Become a member. It's only $60 a month, okay? The only way to get this brand is to be a member, all right? You can't find 5-4 Club anywhere else, so you got to sign up, baby. Do you want to stand out in the crowd and not blend in like everyone else? Do you want to wear the clothes that Don Cheadle and Blake Griffin wear? Do you want to start getting compliments from girls you didn't think were even looking at you? I'm telling you, Brad even wears this shit, all right? They've got his size. They've got little Brad's size. I can't stress how dope this company is. I wear their shit. It's dependable. It's reliable. They throw you how-to-wear style suggestions, curated collections, selected by personal stylists. You're not a stylist, man. Get some help from dudes that know what they're talking about. Free size exchanges, free delivery, and easy style profile edits. Great styles that are on point and on season. You want shorts and a button-up? Cool. They got them. You want jackets and jeans when it gets colder? They got them. Go to 54club.com right now. Use promo code ALN to get a nice little discount off your first package, all right? Also, if you sign up for 54 Club this month, they've teamed up with Robert Geller. You know who Robert Geller is? Yeah, maybe named Best Men's Wear Designer in 2009. He's collaborated with Levi's, Common Projects, Yeezy Season 1. Robert Geller is thrown in a pair of his $200 shades for free when you sign up this month to be a member in 5-4 Club. All right? So go to 54club.com, use promo code ALN, and start looking better, baby. And now enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Thank you for listening to the show and giving us those iTunes ratings and comments. I really appreciate the support. If you haven't done so yet, do it right now while you're listening to the intro, getting set for the episode. Go to iTunes, type in About Last Night, give us a 5-star rating, and comment on the iTunes page. Something sweet, something simple. Love the show. Maybe quote something that you love, a specific guest, a guest you want to hear. All that stuff helps out. Today's guest on the show is Jamie Kaler, comedian, actor, voiceover artist, father of two. This dude... Boy, really shed some light on the switch from full-time road comic to dad. Jamie has been in the business a while. You might have seen him on Friends, The Tonight Show, so much stuff on Comedy Central. He's guest starred on every TV show imaginable. He was on TBS's My Boys with Jim Gaffigan for a while. And great comic, great radio show host. He hosted his own serious show called Kaler. That I was a guest on for a long time. That's actually how we met. And he tells some great stories of how I tricked people into thinking I was the real Tony Danza when they would call in. Jamie's a great dude. He brought it. He's a great podcast guest. Some people know what they're doing and they bring it. They're great conversationalists. They're funny. They share great insight. And we went 90 minutes on this one because he was so dope. Enjoy the episode. Follow Jamie on Twitter at Jamie Kaler. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. Brad on Twitter at Funny Brad. The podcast on Twitter at ALN Podcast. It's at ALN Podcast on Instagram at Adam Ray 33. For me on Instagram at Brad Williams Comic on Instagram. Of course, Estoy merchandise for all your ALN merch, ESTOY merchandise.com. Get your shirts, hats, mugs, posters. Bring them to the shows, baby. We'll sign them, take pictures with them. have a chance to be Fan of the Week. We just sent out some more Fan of the Week merch. So continue to tweet at us. Send us emails to aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com. If you guys just have some stories, some, you know, sweet thing of how the podcast helps you get through the day, maybe a favorite episode. You know, if you're a new fan, if somebody turned you on to the podcast, a funny story that you think we would find funny to share on the podcast, all that stuff contributes to you possibly being Fan of the Week and winning some free ALN merch. So send those tweets, send those emails to aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com and continue to get your merch and bring them to the shows. Brad and I, we have a lot of tour dates coming up. I'll be at Laugh Boston in Boston, Massachusetts, April 28th through the 30th. Get your tickets at adamraytv.com. And then May 6th and 7th, I'll be at the new D.C. Arlington Draft House in Washington, D.C. I think it's DCDrafthouseComedy.com. The ticket link is on my website, adamraytv.com, for all those dates. But yeah, Boston, April 28th through the 30th at Laugh Boston, and D.C. Draft House, May 6th and 7th. So get your tickets and come see me. But this week, Brad and I are going to be at the Moon Tower Comedy Festival in Austin, Texas. We're going to be there the 21st through the 24th, doing the goddamn Comedy Jam, doing some other stand-up shows, getting a lot of podcasts, which is going to be the shit, and just having a great old time. Austin is a killer city, and there's a lot of debauchery to be had. It's going to be a shit show. I have not left Austin ever without telling myself, I need to go on a cleanse. That was too much. After Austin, Brad will be in Syracuse, New York, April 28th through the 30th at the Funny Bone. Go see Brad in Syracuse at the Funny Bone, April 28th, I'm sorry, through May 1st. Get your tickets at funnybone.com. And of course, Separation Anxiety, new episode tomorrow, TBS, 10 p.m. Eliza Schlesinger, me, game show, fun, funny, sexy, hilarious. Check it out. Separation Anxiety, brand new episode tomorrow, 10 p.m. Yeah, Goo Goo Dolls. That episode's coming. I think we locked in a date. I think it's going to be May 2nd. And we're, I think, going to get a whole iTunes feature out of it. So be on the lookout. Goo Goo Dolls, May 2nd. A ton of other great episodes in the can. We're going to pick up a bunch this week in Austin. Brett Morin's coming back, which is going to be incredible. I don't think he's been on for like 5 or 6 months. You know, he always brings it. Lamorne Morris from New Girl is coming on. Hasan Minhaj from The Daily Show. Brody Stevens. My boy Max Winkler, who is now becoming a big-time Hollywood director and son of the Fonz Henry Winkler. So a lot of great apps. So continue to subscribe on iTunes. Tell your friends. Tell your family. And that's it. Now that we got the tour dates out of the way, those are the Twitter handles. That's the merch info. And now sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the one and only Jamie Kaler.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and to a dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
That's when I was like, you know what, man? I love when people judge other people when they're acts and stuff, and you're like, dude, if you can make a fucking killing living at this business, yeah, all the power to you. I don't care what you do. If you can find an audience, you fucking win.
You know what
I stopped judging people a long time ago.
Yeah. And you do. How long do you think the judging lasts for? Or just the comparing yourself to other people, or the, I don't know, any sort of negative thoughts? I mean, there comes a point. Do you think when you had kids, you're just like, nah, fuck it. Like, I'm not going to get pissed at other people's shit. Because I can't put that energy there. I got to put it into
I think maybe when I started to make some money and stuff.
It's all about the clean butts.
Once I started getting paid, and then people were like, fucking Kaler, I can't believe that they pay him to do that big thing. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Well, it's always the comic's head where, all right, I deserve what I'm getting, but everyone else, these fuckheads,
yeah,
they don't deserve that.
It is about monetizing it, man. How many people do we know, like, who are, over the years, just destroyers in rooms, like killers, where you're like, fuck, that guy's funny. And you know, he can't He can't even get headlining
shows. I could give you probably 10 names right now.
Right off the top of my head. Yeah. Who have, like, some guys have Tonight Show appearances. They can't even headline clubs. And you're like, that guy's a fucking killer.
Doesn't matter anymore. I mean,
killer.
It matters, but it doesn't. It's, you know,
it's some YouTube star who has a sock puppet and he sells tickets.
Let's come up with a better example. That guy's hilarious.
That guy, actually, to be fair.
Jimmy the Sock?
Yeah. Jimmy the Sock is got killer following. But he's doing political stuff. It's satire.
It's very niche.
Pure satire. Yeah.
I mean, the Sock does a killer Trump impression.
And the Sock is a deal.
The Sock got a spinoff in the fucking kid manipulating
by Gersh.
Yeah.
The kid, not so much. He was over at Hervey Grimes.
Right.
The Sock is rising.
Hervey Grimes an agency?
They are.
Do you remember your first agency?
Hervey Grimes.
Wow. And they're still around?
I believe they are. Yeah. Actually, my first one was in San Diego. It was Artist Management. Nancy Washburn. And
I started in San Diego. I remember that one.
Why, you went to San Diego?
No, but I remember hearing about, like, they tried to expand and they tried to come up.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, I heard about them with the whole scam and the illegality of it all.
Wait,
I don't know.
What happened?
No, I'm joking.
Oh, okay.
You know, a few years ago, some agency will go, like, you know, they were ripping people off. They were stealing their residual checks and stuff.
What? Jeez. An agency ripping off their artists? That doesn't sound like good Hollywood people.
No. Well, the whole residual check business is, like, hey, we're going to send you some money. We're not going to tell you when or how or for what, but be happy when you get it from the check.
I know,
And then when you don't get them for a while, you don't know, but your agent, somebody might be taking them.
Yeah. I'm also not that – I need to be better about, like, checking everything. Like, when I look at the check, the date, the amount.
The worst.
Like, I mean, but you just
– I'm the worst.
They also assume, though, like, what, if I really get a check for, like, $25 from According to Jim from 2007, am I really going to be – go back and be like, it should have been 75.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
commercials
are
the worst.
Yeah, we don't know how to look at it.
You're a commercial beast.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Some years are good, some years are.
When did you start really getting into it, commercials?
Right out of the shoot. That's why I have probably continued to do them, because that was like the first thing I ever fell into was like.
I mean, could you not see the man's boyish good looks at
him? Yeah. You don't age, dude. You're the fucking dude. You're just,
You can sell. You can sell anything.
About? You don't.
I mean, and it's starting to look.
You
like,
can sell. No, you could sell true. Bacon to ISIS. You could.
But to be fair, those guys love bacon. Doesn't love
bacon? So it's not that tough of a pitch.
Yeah, you know.
You also have a stellar radio voice.
You mean the high-pitched Boston annoying tone?
Dude, is it? It's so easy to listen to. I don't know why you're not getting into the audio book business.
I should.
You fucking for real should. And sorry for swearing at you.
It was the worst of times. It was the best of times.
All right, well, maybe hold off on that voice. Yeah. But do like the one that you did before that.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times, said Dickens that day.
Dude, I would listen to that guy read like Curious George books or...
I mean,
Judy Blume novels.
It's like you and I would listen to Larry King do anyone's novel.
Anybody. I would listen to Larry King.
If he
Joe Walsh. I would listen to Joe Walsh.
Is that the Inside Edition guy? No.
No, Joe Walsh is from the Eagles. Oh. He's the crazy guitarist who used to trash every hotel room. Have you ever seen him talk? Oh, he's amazing. He's like he's insane. People are listening. Are they going to go, I don't know what he's talking about? Or are they going to go, oh, yeah, Joe Walsh should have his own show. That guy's funny.
Yeah, or they'll say, like, Joe Walsh, the guy from the Eagles, the guy that just died. You're like, no.
That's Glenn Frey.
That's Glenn.
I was the voice of Carnival Cruise Lines.
What?
Like 2 years ago, maybe. And I had this, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I had this voiceover audition. I walk in. They go, yeah, it's you. Like 11 spots. We go and record all these commercials, and it's going to be huge money. And that's it. I'm the voice of the Carnival Cruise Lines, where it's like, you think your vacation sucks? Well, come on, Carnival, and you're going to enjoy life because we're going to get up on the pool deck and all this crazy verbiage. And they record 11 spots. Like a month later, the shitstorm happens in the Gulf where the Carnival Cruise Line
tip or something? Or
it filled with shit.
Filled with shit.
Oh, literally.
The shit ship.
The shit ship.
Yeah, the shit ship.
You
were the voice during the shit ship era?
Right before the shit ship era. But all the campaign was, hey, don't be a fucking idiot. Come on, Carnival. Think about your last vacation. Your last vacation sucked. Remember,
it might have been on a ship that overflowed with shit.
As soon as the double happened on three ships in 2 weeks, they had to go. Well,
rebrand.
We had to rebrand. So they got rid of me overnight. Like they stopped the commercials overnight. And then they had a girl who had a really soft-spoken voice go, you know, Carnival's pretty good. Don't you think you ought to give us a shot?
Wow.
Like, changed overnight because they couldn't have this like in-your-face campaign knowing that their vacations actually blow.
So basically the guy from Chipotle has to now watch his back.
That's right.
Because they're about to replace him.
Oh, my God. How about that place?
Yeah, right?
It's like,
what happened?
How many You don't? Do you read the news?
Well, I mean, I know there's like a breakout and they're shutting down stores.
It's E. coli, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's E. coli.
But it's not just one, right?
It's not like coming up. There's a day where they're all the Chipotles are shutting down at the same time, so they can have like a group meeting in like in one day, and they're like, "Don't worry, we're just going to shut it down for one day. We're going to fix everything." Everyone's like, okay, like as long as we keep eating your burritos. That's how good they are.
Isn't it so crazy, though? Like, that's like when Jack in the Box had an E. coli outbreak.
Yeah.
Like, that was – it only lasted for like like 4 or 5 months, but like 11 people died. Some of those were kids.
Yeah.
And for me, that was enough to go, oh, cool. I don't ever eat at Jack in the Box again. But a buddy of mine was like, dude, it was just the burgers. You can still get the fries. I was like, yo, if a stripper gave me gonorrhea, probably not going back for the fucking hugs because I want what's being advertised and the damage has already been done. But also, it's like E. coli is one of those weird diseases where it's like nobody really knows what it is. It's just got a scary name.
Yeah.
And it's attached. It's like cholera where you die from dehydration because it's
– Listen, I get it. You're smarter than us. Jamie.
Look, I brought some charts. Can I bring – do you have an easel? Does anyone have an easel
put
and a pointer?
Put those graphs away.
All right, here. I brought a PowerPoint. This is your intestines.
Oh, it's care of the PowerPoint podcast,
no
guy.
Fucking water. Listen. It's about cholera, okay?
Do you really know about diseases and whatnot? I know you're
big
history.
I've seen in movies.
You're a history buff, so you know about like the old-time diseases.
Yeah. So prospectors had chapped asses, and they got sick.
So, Adam, if you think you have a dysentery, you can ask Jamie.
That's true. He can cure it.
He can totally diagnose that.
Well, you know, cholera kills people in Africa, but it's only because they don't have enough
drinking water.
But they don't have any liquid. They don't have any IVs to keep them alive. Like, you can survive cholera if you have IVs to replenish your...
This has been Name That Disease on the About Last Night podcast.
Bubonic plague. Go, Adam.
I heard boob, and my mind went elsewhere.
That's exactly right. That is right.
Yeah, because, and we were talking about you being a history buff. You host the show America, Fact versus Fiction.
That's true.
On the American Heroes channel.
That's true.
Now... Can I get now? I delivered cupcakes to a sick kid one time. Does that qualify me to watch the American Heroes channel?
You can. Okay. I've been told Adam's off.
What?
Adam, you're not an American hero of any sort,
dude. I impersonate one of our country's greatest American heroes, and I think you know who I'm talking about.
It's gotta be Tony Danza.
It's gotta be. It's of course Tony Danza.
Did you think you were gonna get through one podcast without?
We had at one point on this podcast we had an About Last Night podcast drinking game, and for every time that he does Tony Danza, that was absolutely take a shot. Then we had the character interrupting Tony Danza.
Well, he would just come out of nowhere and just start, you know, inserting himself in the conversation.
Of course.
And, and driving it. You know what's funny is, do you still do Kaler on Sirius?
No.
Bummer. It was too much.
He had 37 questions about
Kaler. Well, we can talk about the old days because that's Adam used to come. It came to the point where officially it was my show, but then Adam would show up and I would honestly leave the room for like an hour and Adam would just he would just regale people with stories.
Jamie
and
had an amazing show on Sirius, which is like not easy to do, and also too, like, I mean, Sirius is obviously still very popular, but this was like,
are they
really, are they?
I feel like they're almost done.
You got them in the heyday. You had your show on there when
back
it was
in the early 80s. It was crazy. Martin Mull would come by and we would fucking smoke some reefer.
The reference. I challenge any one of our listeners without Google to look up who Martin Mull is.
Okay, real quick, what's your demographic so I can scale down my references?
No. I'd say, 18 to
19?
50.
18 to 15?
18 to 19, very specific.
18 to 19.
Transgender.
64-year-old Jewish women in South Dakota.
Perfect.
Yeah. Done. That's like right
it's
in our
Gladys.
Wheelhouse.
That's one woman.
It's Gladys. It's Gladys and her neighbor Francine who's looking to convert.
Yo, what's up, Gladys? Mm-hmm. How you doing up there in North Dakota? Or South Dakota? Whatever Adam said.
Brad's always wanted to be one of those sexual operators. You know, like the Delilah, you know? You know what I'm talking about. Delilah, like the love request.
He's a sex operator.
The late night, you know, like, Delilah. And then she's like, hello, this is Delilah. It's 10 p.m. Calling to give you your love request. So call in with a story and a name, and I'll send out that special song to that special someone. And, you know, usually it was guys like, hey, this is Toby. I'm calling from Burbank. I've just been away from my wife, Christine, she's overseas, and I've been away from her for about 6 years. Pretty sure she's fucking some other dude, but I miss her still. Look at her picture every day. And I'd love you to play Wind Beneath My Wings by Ben Miller. And then Dollar's like, okay, great. I'm sorry that she, and for sure she's fucking somebody else, but I'll play Bette Midler for you just to make it a little easier. All the time. And dude, I could not stop listening to this shit.
Wait, is it on now?
It's got to be.
I mean, that's like a Casey Kasem, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Love Songs on the Coast.
Yeah. This next one's going out to a young man who wrote me a letter.
Dude, that had to be an inspiration of yours before you got into radio.
It is.
It is?
No, I'm Casey Kasem. I'm so trained to go, yes, exactly. Wait, no, that's not right. Yeah. No, I'm putting my foot down. I will not improvise
how
with
do
you.
How do you even get a serious radio show? So basically, you had it from, what, 3 to 4, right? And it was on the...
Dude, they were giving them away at that time. I think it was part of the Blue Collar Guys. Yeah. I had done some of those shows, mm-hmm. and they were like, hey, you want to do a radio show? And I was like, all right. And they go, here's the gear. You're on. Plug it in at 3 o'clock on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And unplug it at 4, and you'll be live.
Yeah, that was crazy, because wow. I would come through, and we would...
Great. He was great.
At first, I would just come through as me, and then we had Danza come on at one point. And what was great is that it was live, so people would call in. And like when I came on and was pitching like as Danza these like fake musicals
was
I was
really
working
fun.
On, and then people would call in, and But then somebody would just sit down, like you, Matt Knutz, and myself.
Some of those tapes, you know.
Do you really?
You know the one with you doing the puppet show?
Oh, yeah, Danza was going on doing this. Like
he was going around doing a puppet show. He came on as straight. We didn't... Fake it. He
didn't tell the listeners.
Right. We did that. And then.
So people were calling. They were like,
I interviewed
so
him the whole time, and we improvised this whole thing where he was like, I said, so then you start. And I would go, like, and then I know you did the one man show that you opened with, and that ended tragically.
Well,
right?
Yeah. I mean, it was. Look, you start every Broadway show going in, being like, I hope we can make some money, get some momentum, build some fans. And, you know, a lot of times, most of these shows end in somebody killing themselves.
And that's what happened.
And my best friend, Tyrone.
And we played it totally straight. We would get the callers called in and were like, oh, my God, Tony, first of all, let me tell you, you're my favorite.
Yeah.
Angel in the Outfield, still to this day.
Yeah, yeah.
My favorite movie.
Is there going to be a Who's the Boss reunion? I'm like, we're trying to get Judith. She's still holding out. But let me back to the puppet play. Look, this guy, Tyrone, was a great addition, but you know what, when he killed himself we were all like, you know what, good riddance, you were fucking you kind of were bringing the energy down on opening that anyway. So
someone probably calls in like, I knew Tyrone.
Oh, for sure.
The one woman called and said, I remember watching Angels in the Outfield with my father just before he died.
Oh my god,
do you remember the story?
Yes oh my god.
And then we all looked at each other like, and you played it totally straight, thank you for calling, I'm so glad you're such a big fan. And he was like really sweet to her, and
yeah,
we're like, this is really borderline creepy at this point.
Yeah, because I mean,
what was she
funny.
Saying?
She was just like,
she was tears.
Before, my dad, but every night we watch Angels in the Outfield, he loved that movie. And part of me wanted to be like,
I'm not Tony Danza.
Well, no, part of me wanted to be like, well, now he's an angel, and he's probably in center field. He's probably in center field. You know? Sounds like a shortstop.
Have you seen Barry Zito pitch recently? Yeah. He might be in Barry.
He's got a lot of money.
That, but so how, okay, and so you did.
Boy, what a bust!
Right?
What happened?
Come on, dude. There's so many of those guys. It just
would they
got
signed a $150 million deal
and check
over?
Out?
I know.
Well, as long as he does that for Bay Area teams, as a local LA guy, I'm okay with it.
You're here. This is your born and bred.
Born and bred.
Gorgeous, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to get into sports because that's a hot topic.
Patriots right now, baby.
All right. Don't say that fucking name again on this podcast.
Do you have now?
I'm from there, so it's not like it's not like I'm that kid from Nevada who's like, you know, my dad once brought me home a Patriots jersey. It's like, I was born there, I suffered, and now...
So, do you also support other famous cheaters throughout history?
As many as I can.
So, like, are you like a Benedict Arnold fan?
A Mario Lopez fan?
If they hadn't won so many times, people would just let it go.
You think Jennifer Garner should have stuck around with Ben Affleck? Just be like, no, he's not that bad. He's putting his dick in
fair,
a few foreign
she
things.
Has to take some onus. You don't fucking hire a smoking hot nanny. I have a nanny with my babies.
Yeah.
And my wife was like, that's – when people hire like a 22-year-old Swedish au pair and Jude Law is the fucking your husband, are you fucking stupid? Yeah. What are you thinking about?
Like basically you need to hire Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yes.
Like, and as a man.
As a dude.
Like
really
a dude playing a woman.
That's exactly the
that's
only way.
That's what you need. That's the only way.
That's it.
And
I just hope that that's not some sort of like a subconscious fetish.
Right.
Of yours.
And – even then, hand jobs aren't completely off the table.
Not off the table.
Yeah.
Because anyone who's nurturing
fact,
your child, you're attracted to people who are taking care of your children.
Yeah, sure.
It's the same way I had a thing for waitresses. Like, any girl who brought me food in a restaurant, I was really turned on by that, right?
Yeah,
and hostesses, like,
they're nourishing
your table.
You.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, the amount of old, fat Denny's waitresses in the Midwest I've almost banged
dude,
is striking.
I call it the waffle fuck. I go to the Waffle Hut just to bang whatever I can get. Dude, when you're in Des Moines or Erie, you got it. You
please
know,
sure. Any tweet at Jamie Kaler, yeah. Hashtag Waffle Fuck.
Waffle Fuck.
please you know do what? That just probably, so he knows that you heard it here on the About Last
that
Night
That is
podcast.
Trending right now. Waffle. Hashtag Waffle Fuck.
So like, did you have like one of those things, kind of like a Mary Poppins thing where you had all like the
kids line up next
nannies,
to the banister?
Like come in and be like, oh, yeah. too hot.
You're cool.
69-year-old Danish woman. Yeah.
usually Danish is still pretty hot. They age well.
Okay.
They do.
I didn't know.
My wife picked.
Okay.
And now here's the other thing is I hope my nanny never hears this because if she does, she's going to go, but I'm what? I'm not attractive.
We can
she
is.
She's
out.
She's a beautiful woman in her own, but she's a mother of two children.
Yeah.
And she's a nice woman.
Two kids.
I have two kids. Yeah.
How old now?
Isn't it crazy how things change, man?
Crazy. Well, I remember when you just had your
when I was the drunk guy down at O'Brien's with fucking one bowl and one spoon that I stole from a restaurant.
I do remember
living in a rent controlled apartment with a bank full of money, and I ate out every night. Yeah, that was a good fucking time, Adam.
Oh my God! I love these things where, like, we're dudes. We're just dudes, and like we do stuff like that.
Get married and have two kids? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, like, no, like, sit, like, in a rent-controlled apartment. Like, we all have moments like that. Like, I found out that my dad used to own a punk rock nightclub, and I'm like, holy, like, before I was born, I was like, holy shit, I want to know those stories, but at the same time, I absolutely do not want to know those stories. And you just, like, because we always look at our parents as these stoic, like, no, they were born to be our parents, like they were parents from day one, and you're like, no, they're just people. They've done crazy stuff, and now you're that guy. It's like I'm in charge of two human lives.
It's honestly crazy. I have panic attacks at night sometimes.
Really?
Yo, my God. Were you like that kid? Yeah, I took my youngest 10-month-old this morning to go get shots. I had to put her in the back seat, and then you're like, is she breathing in the back seat? And I'm driving on the fucking 101, and then she puked all of herself while we're driving. I'm like,
can't pull over on the freeway. Yeah,
it is funny you say that because my father, I never knew him as a young man. Like he was 43 when I was born. I'm the youngest of six, and so it wasn't until just a few years ago I was talking to my mother about something about like drinking or something. She's like, "Oh yeah, your father. Well, you know, he lost his license for a year when he was 22. Yeah, I had to go down to with the two kids in my arms and drag him out of the bar." And I was like, "What? Why didn't you ever tell me these stories? It would have helped me actually kind of figure out my drinking abilities.
Yeah,
we
were kind of going through some shit, being like, hey, just so you know, your dad did this.
And by the way,
avoid.
This is in your gene pool,
right.
So you should know.
Right.
See, you're Irish.
Yeah.
Is it
Irish from New Hampshire? Do they have other Irish there?
There's only Irish from New Hampshire. I think we got in through Nova Scotia and then camped our way through Maine. I'm not sure.
Are you guys really that heavy? It's a true stereotype. Like, I had a buddy.
Like Boston is off. It's
Boston Irish. I got an Irish buddy, and he used to say, when you get fucked up, and I was like, dude, you showered with your clothes on again last night.
Yeah.
And he's like, my last name's Flanagan. What'd you expect? And I'm like,
I'm finally coming to terms with that. Like, that might not be the best way to live my life anymore. Like, that excuse, like, well, what? You get fucked up last night. What are you going to do? I'm Irish from Boston. Yeah. I got no choice.
I have to every night.
Well, in high school, that was it.
Is that when you started drinking?
Yeah, I was 16, and we're getting hammered. What are you going to do? Oh, I'm going to get fucking cocked and then go to the dance. That's what we did. It was like you didn't do anything. Like, drinking was the event, and then bowling or the movies or skiing, which is, by the way, I love when people go, yeah, we're going to have a few beers and go skiing. That's pretty dangerous.
Yeah, flying down a mountain high speeds with trees
on. We used to take Boda bags, you know, the little animal skin bags.
Yeah,
what?
And then we would fill them with Rumplemans and then go skiing Cannon Mountain.
That sounds the best.
It was actually pretty good.
Yeah. I think our listeners now have to mark down this moment in history when that's the first Boda bag reference we've ever had.
It's called a Boda bag. It
absolutely is.
A lot of firsts tonight. A lot of firsts tonight.
Wow. Drinking in high school, were you a fun drinker? I mean, my experience with you was a fun drinker, but I don't think I got true Kaler.
You haven't had the end of night Kaler.
So you turned it up.
There's a button. It's Cinderella, but the pumpkin couch blows up. It shows up at midnight, and it's all good. It's like in vain where you're like, it's like, I have great nights, and then you have that one kind of night where maybe you shouldn't have gone out in the first place.
Yeah.
But that's
when the best stories happen.
Yeah. I don't remember the stories.
That's
you have to have some
you
other
are
of my
told,
friends on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had some.
Has there been a night where somebody gave you a recount of the prior evening where you're like, are you fucking nuts? Like, Jamie, dude, you don't even understand. You drove your car into the Wendy's, then fucking grabbed the guy in the Wendy's.
It wasn't a Wendy's.
It was a Hardee's.
But yeah, there's a few stories like that.
You don't understand.
Who was I talking to recently? I was like, I'm really lucky. Like, I've dodged bullets left and right. Am I the only one in the room who's dodged?
No, we've all done. I've had 30 stories right now where I should have been
dead. I have some crazy stories that are I'm not sure the statute of limitations is up yet, where you're like, yeah, like drunk. Yeah, I'm lucky I didn't kill somebody or.
Did you like? This was when I was younger. Like deface a national monument or something.
My car's parked side the wrong facing the wrong way up on the curb.
Yeah. Ever park it in somebody's like lawn? Like their
sure.
Yeah. Not even, dude. That was like the bottom of the.
Dude,
jump.
One time in college, we're in college, and I'm going to a year in Maine up at Castine at this little Merchant Marine Academy school, and so I'm there for a year after college, after high school, and I'm dating some girl who's like 6 hours away down in Portland, and so I'm wrecked. It's like Friday night, like 11:30 or so, and I'm wrecked, and I get in the car.
I'm gonna go see her.
I gotta see her,
baby. I love
you. She wants to see me. Okay, I get a mile this. Away from the school, and a cop pulls me over, and I'm wrecked, and he goes, No, you're going back. So he followed me back to the school, and I was like, you're right. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I got in to the school, waited.
For the cop to maybe.
To maybe leave.
Oh, jeez.
Went and got back in the car, drove 6 hours.
Way.
I just waited a little bit, and then I just drove and made it. 6 hours later, I was not, like at 5 a.m, I was like, how you doing?
Baby.
Still drunk, or did you like sober up like halfway through?
I think I was semi-sobered up, but it's all a blur. And it was the... It was the 80s.
You don't remember what songs you were jamming to on the way down there?
Glenn Frey was sitting next to me.
In your mind.
Yeah, no, in my mind.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I do, actually. At the time, I was listening to a lot of Oingo Boingo.
Wow.
I loved Oingo Boingo. Oh. And the Vapors and Oingo the B-52s. Boingo.
Yeah.
And the Clash and Elvis Costello.
So I have a Oingo Boingo story for you.
Wow, can we isolate that audio?
Yes.
Well, you live here. Are you buddies with Danny Elfman now?
Well, I went to see him do Nightmare Before Christmas at the Hollywood Bowl this year, where he does the orchestra along with the movie. Right.
There's few things Brad loves more than the Nightmare Before Christmas soundtrack.
It's amazing.
Breathing, and that's about it.
Is that right?
It's like Breathing, Denver Broncos,
big.
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Broncos. I could tell earlier I go Broncos.
Yeah.
The hatred. The daggers coming your way. So
we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, yeah. So we're watching it, and the movie ends, and Danny Elfman goes, you know, now I'm going to do something that I never thought that I would do again. And he brings out the guitarist from Oingo Boingo, and they fucking play Dead Man's Party. And they haven't played it for 25-30 years, and he vowed never to play that song again. And he's like, just tonight. And he played it. It was
awesome.
It was so I had a friend who was also there, huge Oingo Boingo fan. Right after the movie was over, she wanted to beat the traffic, so she left and missed the Oingo Boingo reunion. And
what?
Yeah. And I mean, miss the Oingo Boingo reunion is a sentence that you don't know that you're ever going to say.
No.
But
I would be so upset.
Yeah. And she is.
Because the only reason she was really even going was in the outward hope that there may be an Oingo Boingo. Like, Danny Elfman's great, and the other one's great. But
yeah.
Did you ever see the band live?
No.
You're an LA guy.
Yeah. But I
used to play here like every weekend.
I know, but I was 5.
Yeah, you're too young.
I'm 32 years old.
You're a punk. What can I tell you?
Yeah, exactly.
I saw them in San Diego at this open-air theater, and they were – I mean, there was 57 guys on stage. You know the band is a monstrosity.
Yeah, it's
– there's like a 14-piece orange section. It's crazy.
Right. Wow. Basically, like, picture
amazing.
The Mighty Mighty Boss Dogs, how they have one guy whose job is just to do air kicks.
That's kind of the same thing. What a great gig.
Where Oingo Boingo's got like a triangle player, and he's like, okay, you do the one kazoo part. Like that, it's a 42-piece band.
The one guy, ding! He just waits for the one point of the song. Ding!
Yeah, that's it.
So good. When I watched it, even then, I remember going, how are these guys making any money?
Right, because they have to pay 97
every
people.
Every guy gets paid. Yeah.
And you're like, well, MC Hammer went broke. How did he go broke? Easy. He had three towel guys on stage. That's why he went broke.
James Brown, but he just never paid those.
Yeah,
guys.
Yeah. He paid Deion Sanders to be his his backup singer. That's why MC Hammer went
broke.
Do
you, now that you're starting to see some success, is the money so precious? Because anytime now I make money, I think about those guys and go, dude, if I had $50 million, I'm not sure you'd ever see me again. I'd disappear and like live on a golf course.
I think so too.
I would do stuff like this, like stuff I like my with my friends, my little own thing. Yep. But I wouldn't give a shit about anything else.
No, you
how do these guys lose like, this money?
I don't know, dude. Scottie Pippen, MC Hammer.
Pippen broke?
Oh yeah, dude.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, he bought like jets and shit.
Antoine Walker.
He bought like fighter pilots and Space Jam decals.
Actual
and shit.
People fighter. That's slavery, Adam.
What?
What?
Space Jam decals?
Like fighter pilots?
I mean,
fighter jets. What did I say?
He bought fighter pilots.
Oh, like, is that what I said? No, like, fighter jets.
Hey, go do a couple laps just for my amusement.
Yes, sir, Mr. Pippen.
Wow. Let's take it back root style.
They were Asian, so.
They were.
Calm down.
I can trust me. I can do them all. Yeah. I'll do them all.
Did you buy,
I'm from Boston.
Did you buy a Powerball ticket?
I did. I bought one.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they say the odds. Everyone's like, you know, the odds are 1 in 292 million if you play. And I go, what's the odds if you don't play? Zero.
Yep.
Yeah. So I bought one.
You bought one. You pulled a Charlie Bucket.
What's a Charlie Bucket?
Charlie Bucket from the great movie Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
You bought one ticket.
You buy one candy bar. You're like, will it have the golden ticket? It did!
That's a good reference.
Thank
man.
You so much.
Actually,
he's hung out with me long enough where he knows that movie backwards and forwards.
He buys two.
His family buys him one.
Somebody buys him one. He eats it.
Grandpa Joe gives up. That was always so like sweet, but also so fucked up because Grandpa Joe was like, Charlie, I gave up my smoking habits for like 6 months so that I could buy you a chocolate bar. It's like, you dumb fuck. You sleep in a bed with four other people. Invest in like a cot or a fucking
something
or
else.
Like some sort of a futon setup.
Your family eats cabbage every night. Maybe
no hot water.
I remember
Mrs. Bucket, by the way. And by the way, how poor are you when your last name is the fucking thing your family pisses in together? So she came in one day and she was like, dinner served, and it was just like hot boiled water. Yikes, man.
The same bucket?
Yeah. In the same bucket.
They boil
as the
piss.
Well, I mean, it gets all the bad stuff out when you boil it. Everyone knows that, right?
Oh, yeah. No,
you're right, though. Yeah. Two tickets.
Except my wife. She won't. Did you play?
What's that?
Powerball?
Yeah. I played two. I bought two tickets.
Two tickets.
Yeah.
You play?
I bought $40 worth of tickets.
Sure. Did you win anything?
Oh, God, no. 1 in 292
yeah,
million.
You could have got a couple numbers. Nothing.
Once I saw... Yeah, no, nothing. Like, not even close either. Like,
I was
mine was like 8-6, like a emoji of a giraffe. I was like, dude, that's not even an option. It was so far off.
An emoji of a giraffe.
Like an old headshot of mine.
Yeah. Your own headshot?
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
You can choose that. You can choose that. I have a feeling that if Adam had won the Powerball.
Yeah, what would I have done?
I would not have heard from you. It would just been like all of a sudden.
Click.
Adam's doing like that most interesting man in the world shit on Instagram. Like, I'm on a yacht and these are my bitches. And I'm like, is that where you've been?
He'd bring you along.
I'd bring you along.
I think he would, actually.
Well, I'd make Brad one of my bitches.
Well, yeah. Sure. I mean, I'd have to wear a bikini, but I mean, my ass looks pretty damn good in one.
Yeah. I don't doubt that.
Dude, the things, you know what's so funny though? As much as you want to say like, I'd do this and I'd do this with like, you know, 700 mil, none of us at the table have any idea what we would actually do. Because as much as you want to put yourself in that position, like, yeah, I'm sure you would all give large sums to family and to
not a chair. No.
No.
Fuck them.
Large.
He said large sums.
Well, okay. I mean, I'm saying like...
Small.
Even like a mil. Like,
here's 10 grand.
Yes.
And you know what, though? Family, and here's so fucked about that. They would say, if you gave them like 25K, they'd still be like, oh, really, dude? 25K? Dude, you got 700 mil, Kaler.
When I booked my boys and was making cable money, I had cousins come out of the woodwork.
Oh, man.
Who were like, hey, listen, I got a gambling problem.
Shit. What did you do?
I gave him like $1,500.
Fuck.
So if I did that, can you imagine me with fucking $1.3 billion?
Oh,
here you go! 3 weeks later, it's gone?
Dude, everyone has a relative with a gambling problem. Is that safe
Everybody
to say?
Does.
Yeah.
Especially Boston guys, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What's their poison? Sports.
Yeah, sports.
Online poker, no.
I fucking know it. I know how it's going to come out this weekend. Think about it.
God,
think about the
dude.
Weather and the math. It's
the weather. And the teams, do they wear the away jerseys?
You ever watch a guy who's you can tell the guy in the room is gambling because they'll like, they don't need a touchdown, so they'll just take a knee and let the clock run. He's like, fucking just kick it. Just kick the field.
Throw it.
You're at the 20.
Yeah. Just beat the the spread.
Dude, a buddy of mine in Vegas put down, I think it was like, just drunkenly put down like 5K on some sort of Lakers-Sonics game. Rest in peace, my Sonics. This was like, what, 8, 10?
Come back, by the way. I can't even, the Oklahoma City thing, it's bothersome.
It's awful, dude. It's like, yeah, you know, I get stern that like Oklahoma City housed the Hornets when New Orleans went through Katrina, which, by the way, if you really want to like go all the way back to why the Sonics are gone, blame Hurricane Katrina. Because
and then you can go from there to George Bush. George Bush took away the Sonics.
I was going to say Sean Kemp did it, but I don't fucking know.
How dare you say that? How dare you say anything negative
about Sean Kemp or one of his 17 children? I don't know.
Sean Kemp should be featured on American Heroes.
Well, I mean, he did like single-handedly repopulate the state of Washington.
I like Sean Kemp. How many kids live right now in Washington who are straight descendants of Sean Kemp?
Why don't we talk about how many highlight reels have been featured?
Hold on, I'll find out.
Sean Kemp. Sean Kemp's amazing.
He's unreal, man.
He's a freak of nature.
If he had stuck in Seattle, if they had not made such poor choices and paid Jim McElvain, the awful tiny dick center, $22 million before they paid Kemp, after Kemp had just poured in 26-12 in the finals against Jordan, is the only reason we even were close in that series. And then Kemp goes, oh, really, you're paying a center before you pay me? And they're like, yeah, we don't know about you yet. And he's like, fuck it, trade me to Cleveland.
If I lost your listeners with my references... Everybody just deleted this podcast.
Jim McElvain.
McElvain, boop, delete.
Confirmed 11 children by 10 different women. Well, one gave him two kids. That's
nice. It would be
funny.
Actually, it would have been really funnier if it was 10 children by 11 women. He'd be like, wait, what's that?
One gave birth to half.
What would you do with the Here's what makes me laugh about the stupid lottery is, like, everyone's like, oh, do you know it's $1.3 billion? You're right. You got to play it. We're playing it. It's $1.3 billion. No. I got fucking plans for it. What's it normally at? Normally, like, $4 or $5 million. Wait, you don't play then? No, I couldn't be bothered to pull over for a ticket for $4 or $5 million. That's how greedy this country is, because I'm pretty sure $2,000 would change everybody's life in this entire country.
Yeah. I mean,
but we're so greedy that we have to... I have it all.
Yeah, I mean, with $2,000, I can finally afford my collection of Batman the Animated Series figurines.
Oh my God!
Is that why you and Ralph get along so well?
Yeah,
is that true? Are you? Oh, I did not know. You know Ralph and
Ralph Garman,
old Acme buddies. Ralph's the best.
Oh, you started Acme together.
Yeah.
No shit.
I love Ralph. And so when you started
Ralph
doing the radio.
And Corolla, right?
Corolla, they were like right before me, a year or two. It was him and Corolla and Cortland Cox. And then I was there with Alex Borstein and Miles Jabari, Joel
from
McHale.
Family Guy. This is Acme Comedy Improv and Sketch in LA. Yeah.
But Ralph, when I first came in, Ralph was the man.
Yeah. Oh, like, really?
He owned the shows. Elvis and Statesman. I was in the lower company. I was coming up to the main company, and Ralph was the man, yeah.
Oh,
you guys are just Batman freaks, huh?
Well, like, I'm not to the
He has a museum in his house.
He has a Batcave.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
I've seen photos of it.
Oh, God.
Are you serious?
He lives like two blocks away from me, and I see him drive by in the giant. He's got the golden.
Yeah, the orange Mustang?
Yes.
What?
Neon orange Mustang?
Oh, it's crazy.
Oh, Ralph.
Another obscure reference for your listeners.
You know what, though? But again,
he's been a guest on the podcast. We have a lot of LA listeners that know Ralph Garman from the Kevin and Bean Show.
That show's great. And you're great on it. I love the whole thing.
Some people that know Ralph from the Hollywood Babylon podcast that he does with Kevin Smith. So this isn't too obscure.
It's not too obscure.
Yeah. But also, building a bat cave sounds like for me, my equivalent would be building a replica of
the McElvain cave, the Mackle cave.
So funny.
You would get like the Goonies pirate ship in your backyard.
Is that right?
Wow. Or I'd get the Ninja Turtle sewer from the second movie.
Ooh. I'm not that guy.
Any of the Ninja Turtles?
I never saw it. As a kid, I was like Johnny Quest, Three Stooges.
Johnny Quest. Well done.
When is that? How is that not a movie now?
Bandit?
I wanted to be Race Banyan when I got older.
Sure.
What was the first thing you saw?
I'm a huge Batman. Out of all the cartoon movies, Batman's the guy.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What was the first what?
The first comedy show, set, or movie, or actor. Something that you were like, oh, shit, that struck a chord with you.
Monty Python was probably the big one as a kid. And the first season of Saturday Night Live. I remember sitting and watching the first season of Saturday Night Live as a little kid going like, oh. I just blew my mind.
Anybody in particular in that cast?
Yeah, I mean, Belushi. Actually, what's funny is I kind of was an Aykroyd guy when I was younger. I just liked his, you know, he's always that speed talker, more so than Belushi. And then as I grew older, Belushi was the man.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, Bill Murray. Has anyone had a better career than Bill Murray?
I don't think so.
He has a, I don't think he has an agent. He has a phone number.
Maybe Glenn, Glenn Close, but...
Maybe.
But
but it's just, how would you like to know that you could drive around South Carolina or Virginia and pop into someone's backyard barbecue and make their life?
But he owns it so well. Like, yeah. You see so many other celebrities like, oh, fuck off, get away from me.
Yeah.
And he does it in such a way that everyone reveres him, that he's got this just ease to him that no one has as a celebrity, really.
Yeah, it's
like, it's odd.
Yeah, if you want to know how to do it right, just do the Bill Murray. You know,
and he's himself. Like, he's a brilliant actor, because it's not easy to be that natural on camera. I think people don't give him credit to go, that guy's actually a brilliant actor.
Yeah, watch Groundhog Day and
that's one of my
One of my favorite movies of all time.
Top three.
Easily.
Absolutely. Unreal.
One of the best comedies of all time.
Oh, my God.
Man.
I could literally watch it every day.
Flawless.
Which is, you know, ironic, because that's...
Yeah.
That would be Groundhog Day.
What I love about it is that they sat around and go, okay, it's been 1,000 days. Where's he at? Wait, I would kill myself. He kills himself. They get past that level. I would try to help people.
Yeah.
He tries to help everybody. He finally learns how many days? Have you ever done the math where you try to figure how many days?
No.
It's thousands and thousands and thousands of days. He's gone.
Wow.
Because he learns classical piano. Yeah. He does all these amazing things. He says, I've saved you hundreds of times, to the kid in the tree.
Yeah, and you've never thanked me once.
Never thanked me once. Each one. So every time I watch it, I try to do the math of how many days go by that before he gets her to fall in love with him.
And Bill Murray has such an effortless just way about him, as far as like so... Not unlikable at the beginning, but I mean, kind of. I mean, just kind of a smug prick, you could say, you know.
But still likable. That's why he's Bill Murray.
But then, like, slight things in his face, a dimple, a smile, whatever. To then, like, when he's at the restaurant, like ordering for Andy McDowell, and then like reciting, like when he's like, you know, making note of, like,
it's crazy. I mean, to me, it's a best actor nomination.
I don't know why he didn't.
I don't think he nominated.
Well, because it was a comedy, and they weren't like,
that's the problem.
I mean, yeah.
What do you think about no African-American actors getting nominated?
About no redheads. I mean, except for that chick, Eddie Redmayne. But she doesn't count.
Well done, sir.
Thanks,
man. Well done. You took an uncomfortable, possibly uncomfortable question.
Yeah, and made it even better.
It turned it right around.
I was going to post
something. Which you probably learned at Acme Comedy.
I'm boycotting Did you see Jada Pinkett? You know, I interviewed them on the red carpet at the SAG Awards, Will Smith and Jada Pinkett. We can post a clip with this.
Yes.
And Jamie Foxx jumps in with us and starts kind of, it's like a four-way interview.
Now, I want to know, did you prep questions? Because if I knew I was interviewing...
I didn't know what I was doing.
Well, because I'm a big Will Smith fan, and I know that my questions would range from...
Are you on the down low?
Yeah.
Is that too much? I don't know who's listening. Can someone destroy my career from this podcast? I don't want someone to come down on me.
I would
want to
know how many times have you made love to your wife to get in jiggy with it? And then I would want to know, why did you make Wild Wild West? And then I would want to know, will you do my podcast?
In that order.
I would start with the Wild Wild West right after shooting.
What did you ask him?
Oh, he had done The Pursuit of Happy. Oh, actually, was it Jada Pinkett? Well, I forget what he was nominated for. It was a few years ago.
Everything, man. He's always nominated.
TBS. Yeah. When I was working for TBS, they said, hey, will you go host the SAG Award red carpet? So I was out there with Dave Karger, who's like, that's what he does for a living. Mm-hmm. And I'm this idiot on the red carpet. I interviewed Ricky Gervais, Jeremy Irons, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Helen Mirren.
Holy shit.
Lynn Redgrave.
You have 2 seconds to prep. They just tell you, hey, you have Jeremy Irons. And then...
That was it.
There's Jeremy Irons.
Catherine Keener, I didn't know what she had been nominated for, and she got really pissed at me. She goes, you fucking know what I was. And I was like, no, I don't know. I'm not even an interviewer.
You're Catherine Keener. Your kids don't know what you're nominated from.
I saw all these clips. It's crazy. Ricky Gervais was the best. I was like, I forget. I was talking about Steve Carell or something. I go, he owes you his career. He should give you a portion of his money from the office.
Did you make him laugh? He's got like the world's greatest
laugh. And he was funny. It was really fun, actually. And Will Smith was... We riffed. I said, I don't know what I'm doing. And Will Smith kind of hugged me. He goes, you're doing great.
Dude, come on. That's exactly what I want
to
hear.
The two of them, I will tell you here, when I sat next to Will Smith and interviewed and talked to him, I was like, he has an aura. You're like, that dude's a movie star of the ultimate order. Where you're like, he was very charming, very friendly, very nice, very comfortable. And you're like, I get it. I've been around guys like that before.
We
had like,
a
fucking
yeah.
Superstar.
We had a Jay Moore on this podcast, and yeah. we asked him about Tom Cruise, and he's like, "Yeah, that there is nothing else that guy could be.
That's really
except
true.
Except the world's
there's
best
a handful
celebrity.
Of those it That's guys, right? And the list
I worked
is...
with Clooney for a week. He,
what
he produced and wrote a pilot for HBO that I shot. I was the it was about an acting class, and I was the dick in the acting class. That's... my first thing I ever booked, and I was bartending at O'Brien's, and everyone was like. Laura Cian Giacomo was like, quit your day job. This is going to run forever. Frank Langella was the acting teacher.
Oh, my God.
My scenes were with Frank Langella. I'd never really been in stuff before. I'd been in like wow. one sitcom, and I was like, hey. And the whole week, Clooney knew everyone's name within 5 miles of the building. You were like, fuck.
Yeah, there's a reason why you're that dude.
He's that dude where you're like, I totally got it. Every dude in the room wanted to be his buddy, and
right.
every girl yeah, wanted to fuck him.
Oh, you're of
like,
course.
It was, but it was never... He was never a dick. You can't put a finger on it. You go, that dude's a superstar.
And even when he was like flirting with the chicks, he probably you're like, I don't think he's even trying to fuck him. They want to fuck him because he's not trying.
He was just trying. You're like charming. It was like Cary Grant, where you're like, I totally get it.
Did you hoop with him? I know you hoops
he,
a lot.
He didn't
set.
Play that week at all. I mean, once or twice, he was out in the back with some of the guys shooting, but I didn't really jump in.
Man,
yeah, it's so weird how there's just some people where, and it, I don't know if it disappoints you because there's you know we're. Comics, so we're bitter, so we're like, well, yeah. why the fuck does that guy have it? Why is that guy the star? No, I'm not. And then you meet him, you're like, ah, fuck, that's why you're the
yeah.
star. Okay, you deserve
and
it.
And unbelievably good looking. Yeah. Like, I remember cracking a couple jokes, and he goes, your time will come, Kaler. Not yet. Not this week. This is my week, Kaler. But he did it in such a charming way, you're like, it is your week, George. It's totally
I mean,
your week.
It's been your week every week for the last 15, 20 years, but whatever. It's
this
cool.
was after ER, like, he was a superstar. And here's what's really funny. I was in my rent control department. There's a security gate down in Santa Monica. It was the morning after we had finished the shoot, and like there's a knock on my door inside the building, which you can't get in.
Yeah.
Early morning, I'm in like my underwear opening up from the door. This
Keep
smoking
going.
Hot 6 foot tall girl goes, oh, hi. I'm bringing by presents from George.
What?
And so she and it wasn't the present wasn't her. No, she had a box.
What if
present.
It was?
I know.
She
maybe
just
it wasn't. I screwed
opens
up.
Her robe.
Maybe I missed it.
Pick up
she
on
did.
The signals, Kaler.
You grabbed the packet of cigarettes that she was holding. Like, wow, this is a great gift.
By the way,
like,
that she
no,
was holding
understand.
In front
you
of her
what?
Open, wet vagina.
Now
go,
as I look back, I do remember the vagina there, and I got lost.
You take the cigs, and she's just bare, and she's well, like, okay, like.
She could, said George, back, and I got distracted.
She goes back to Clooney like, he took my cigarettes and just left the door.
It was a...
Clooney's
it
like,
was
you
a,
go back there, and you fuck his brains out.
She came back again. She said, George. I go, "What did he say something yeah. else about me? What did George say about me?
Did he sign a DVD for me?
It was a penknife from Tiffany that had the project.
Amber Thiessen?
It was called Kilroy. Okay. It was Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Her line of penknives. Yeah, yeah, the Kelly Kapowski penknife.
And it said it had the Kilroy Love George. And I was like, what a class act.
God, man.
He sent presents to everybody. He knew everyone's name, and he sent presents. And if I can tell anyone the key to Hollywood, be on time, know everyone's name, and send presents when you're done, and you'll work forever in this town.
There
That's
you
the
go.
Deal.
It's not even about talent, is it?
Well, I think George Clooney is a very good actor.
Yeah,
I think
he's
great. Is he the best actor? No, of course
send
not.
Gifts
but
all the time, yeah.
Let's face it. Is it really about talent in this town?
I mean, that's why I love doing stand-up, because I think
it is about
like,
talent.
This is one of the only mediums
agree.
Where there,
it's the most
it,
just
it
profession.
It,
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
As an actor, not a chance.
Yeah. It's
I mean,
not.
The Olsen twins are billionaires because they didn't cry on a certain day. That's
right.
it. That's the whole
Okay,
key.
Well, have you seen New York Minute?
What's New York Minute?
No, it's a little film starring Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen where they go to New York.
For a minute.
Oh, I do.
It's a 60-second clip, and it's phenomenal.
An Amber Alert would go off if I watched that thing. What are you, crazy? I can't watch that shit. I'm too old.
They're at the exact age where it's like, oh, I'm a pervert.
Well, you see these movies with little kids, and you're like, acting's not that hard. They're getting them to just do what they
God,
want.
There's so many
but
shitty...
I couldn't agree more. That's why I love stand-up as well, because I do think a microphone... That's it. Can you
be funny?
Can you be funny and hold people's attention? And I think it really is. That's why it makes me so angry when they go, that guy can't, oh, he's a comic, he can't act. People told me when I was younger that to go into auditions, you know, they would say, don't say you're a comic, because people would have a bad opinion. They go, a lot of people think comics can't act. And the truth is, like, you do the same material every night and get laughs at the end of every line. It's not as easy as you think it is. Yeah. They're brilliant actors. They're just doing their own material.
And sometimes we're playing upwards to, like, in my last hour, I probably played about six characters.
Right.
And full-fledged, like, characters. So, developed with backstories, like I've got it all in my head.
Yeah,
so.
Even this is a character. This is Brad's podcast guy.
I felt like that.
Like,
felt.
Let's. You want to meet real?
This
Brad?
Is me, my actual self.
That's a real Brad.
Oh my goodness, yeah. Jamie Kaler. So what you have to do is you have to watch America Fact vs. Fiction on the American Heroes Channel. Oh my goodness, are we always a history buff? Yeah, right, that's my normal
podcast. That's so weird. That's my real voice too.
I feel like we're long lost twins. That's you're Irish. I'm a leprechaun. It's perfect.
That's one of Brad's five impressions. Do you do impressions?
Not a lot.
You must have been the Acme days at some point, right?
No, that's why I'm glad I didn't do the Groundlings, because I'm not. I try. You know, listen. I try to do a few, but you can really do great impressions. One of my pet peeves when I see comics and they go to do an impression and then they tell you the name of the impression before they do it.
Yeah.
Where you're like, hey, what I'm about to do is this guy.
Yeah, yeah. Just do it.
Yeah, this is Jason Statham. You're like, well, or you could just do the impression. Yeah, yeah,
let me figure it out.
But they obviously tried it before and nobody knew who they were doing, so they had to justify what they were doing.
Now we talked about Clooney being dope, but how does Clooney compare to the blue collar guys? And how'd you get involved with them? Foxworthy, Engvall?
Listen, I was just with a management company, and they repped those guys, and they called me and said, hey, do you want to open for this guy and make a lot of money and fly out? And I was like, 20 minutes? Yeah, I can do that.
So which one? All of them?
I've opened for all of them, yeah. Even Ron White, all of them at some point. Fuck. They would call me out and just go, some gigs were like crazy money. I would make more in that money than I would as a headliner for a week at some club. And you're like, yeah. So, and they honestly couldn't be nicer.
They all seem
fucking nice guys.
And how does a guy from Boston, like the whole New Hampshire, New England area, get lumped in with the the blue collar?
Well, you know, I always laugh because it's blue. They're not blue. I'm blue collar.
Yeah,
blue collar is Boston, Pittsburgh, steel guys. It was just a moniker that they threw on the thing. So it really was more about family and life. And my act is kind of autobiographical. Mm-hmm. It was about my father and me growing up drinking and doing crazy shit. So it actually went pretty well. And listen, I'm not stupid. I tone, you know, like we do. If you do a bar show, you don't do the same material as you do at the Laugh Factory. You do it some alt room like Largo, or then you do a club and so you
You have slight,
I cleaned
slight
it.
Changes. Yeah.
I did 20 tight. Family material that was more my Navy material, and I got a good paycheck.
It crushed.
Yeah, it crushed. It was great. In front of like some of the shows were like 9,000 people, like insane numbers of people.
That's crazy.
And just avid Foxworthy fans. People showing up being like, will you sign my mustache?
Yeah. And
no, ma'am. Yeah. Good night, everybody.
Well done. Well done.
None of them could be more gracious. They're like the nicest cats and really good guys.
Now, you mentioned your Navy days.
I was Navy. I was a Navy lieutenant.
Yeah, I think within the first.
I had a very odd, eclectic career.
No kidding.
I think awesome and interesting. Other words I would use.
I didn't come to Hollywood until I was 30. I started acting at 30 and doing comedy. And before that, in my 20s, I was living in San Diego and I was in the Navy.
And were you on a ship? Were you going around? Like name some of the places that you went.
I went to the Philippines. I went to Australia, Hong Kong, Pakistan, Thailand.
And what made you think Navy?
They paid for college.
Oh, well, that helps.
I went ROTC. My father was like, you know, it's so funny because now I have kids and everyone's like, oh, you got to save for those kids' college. I was like, hey, man, my father didn't pay for my college.
Yeah.
Fuck those kids. They're on their own, man.
Figure it out.
Yeah, you're on your own, sister.
Either have the Olsen's career or maybe go to the Navy.
My father was like, hey, we don't have any money, by the way, and if you want to go to college, here's the ROTC program might be for you. So I signed up and then I got a scholarship, so I ended up going to college.
Did you guys
is he trying to show us a picture of something?
Did you guys get down to this ever?
That's that sound?
Did you get down to this sound? No, there's a song coming. I think you know what it is.
I mean,
it's like a Pavlov dog reaction for you right now?
Right now. You can sail the seven seas, Adam. And that's not a euphemism. Oh wait, actually, that is
that's the most of the euphemisms.
Oh, sail the seven seas. Yeah. Now you know what? Now it makes a lot of sense.
I mean, let's be honest, dude.
It was great, man. I had a good time.
So does like every Navy guy just hate that song?
Yeah, they have.
It doesn't bother me in the least. I like it actually.
Why are you rolling your sleeves up, man? Getting real.
Oh, you fucker! You're going down, Ray. I'll fucking come at you.
Were you a funny guy on the show? Like, how did you?
Yeah, I was always kind of the funny.
Doing what? Impersonating buddies on the ship or quick lines?
I'm a smart ass. Yeah. In high school, it got me in trouble. I was the guy who just couldn't.
Keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
but where people go, that's kind of funny, but we've had enough. And teachers would throw me out of room. Like one teacher, freshman year in high school, I couldn't keep my mouth shut. To be fair, I was heavily caffeinated on Pepsi at the time.
Which had a profound effect on you.
Yeah, I drank a lot of Pepsi. I drank a lot of Pepsi back in those days. And I'm going to say it's not the greatest thing for a child. And so my English teacher, freshman year, finally just got sick of me. He goes, Gaylor, God damn it, come with me. And he took me out of class. He walked me down the hall, and he put me in the special ed class.
Oh, shit.
Which I probably should have been in from day one. I don't know.
Those kids drink a lot of Pepsi.
Those kids were great. They had a lot of Pepsi. And so the next day I went to go back to his class. I stayed there for the whole class. And then I went to go back to his class. And he goes, not yet. Keep going. And so he left me there for like 4 days.
Holy shit.
Which I think nowadays is illegal.
Right.
Is my guess. But back in those days, they used to beat students.
Yeah, which, by the way, what a great thing that he did. Like at the time you're probably like, fuck that guy, but now that you look back, you're like, what a great thing to be like, no, if you're gonna act out like that, then let's be with the special ed kid.
And actually the kids in the special ed were great. I love those
kids. They probably taught you how to slam your head up against the wall and not completely
damage. Why do you go that way, man? We hugged a lot and colored for
a couple
hours.
I worked in the special ed in my high school. We did paper mache. 4 years, so I have a very close connection with them.
I mean, come on, in this business,
I TA'd in all the classes.
You don't have to brag about what you did.
I beat them all in arm wrestling.
About your charitable effort, your philanthropic ways, Mr. Ray.
And then how did you just shape up eventually? You just were
I never did.
Yeah.
I finally learned to keep my mouth shut to stop from getting punched in the face, I think, at some point.
Fights? For sure you got
I never got into fights a lot. I talked my way out, but I had that skill where I could really make somebody feel bad about themselves and make other people laugh simultaneously, which is a terrible skill to have, by the way. I feel like you have that skill. What? I've seen you on stage. You can destroy people.
Yeah, but I also always give people a chance. You know,
you're like Shazam. You use your weapon only when necessary.
Oh my God! I've never been more flattered in my entire life.
Drive around in a Winnebago, solve one town's problem, and then move on, Adam.
On the next one.
Yikes!
I mean, and then how from the Navy do you go? Like, you know what I'm going to try now? Comedy.
I don't know. I was in San Diego and I got out, and a friend of mine was in an improv group, and I said, you know what? He goes, you should come with me. And there's some hot chicks, and I was pretty funny. Mm-hmm. I was always a smart-ass funny guy, and so I didn't know what I was doing, though. I was totally...
No direction.
No direction. Like, I love you. Like, you went to USC, and now I look back and go, God damn, how great would it have been to go and get, like, a theater degree or something, but I never did it.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, but I mean, I don't know. Your path is your path.
You know? And honestly, I was like, oh, man, if I'd have come to Hollywood I would have been...
Maybe, but also maybe you would have come and gotten...
I think I would have OD'd.
I honestly think I would have OD'd. You would have gotten wrapped up in the...
My father said that. He goes, you know, had you gone earlier, I don't think you'd have made it. But that's my father. No, seriously, Jamie, this weekend, we can't have any trouble. Let's try to keep it clean. Okay, Dad. Yeah, I'll work on that.
Yeah.
But, hey, you hear so many stories so many times of people getting seen too early, and then they're not ready for the fame. They're not ready for the money, or they're not ready for the rejection. They're not ready to hear no for the first time. And when you get older, you have a little bit more of a perspective on yourself.
I definitely was ready. And even at 30, I was still like, what am I doing? But it was funny because I went to the improv class, and then some woman who managed people, she was the agent down there, saw me and was like, hey, you know, if you want to sign, I'll send you out on stuff. And I go, sure, why not? And so I signed, and then like a week later, she sent me on a SeaWorld commercial. First audition I'd ever gone on. I had no idea. I didn't know how auditions worked. I just walked in, and they were like, sign in here. I was like, yeah, whatever. And then there was a row of us. They brought us like, you know, 10 at a time. You know how they do those horrible
things? Oh, yeah.
And they went down the row, and it was St. Patrick's Day. And they looked at me, and with my bright red hair, they were like, hey, sing Danny Boy. And I was, without flinching, oh, Danny Boy. And I can't sing a note. And I just sang, and they were like, all right, next. And then I got it. So I ended up working.
So blissfully unaware ignorance.
Yeah,
this Hollywood thing is easy.
Yeah,
that's what happened. So
that's
all of a
great
sudden,
though, man.
I booked this crazy SeaWorld commercial that I make like $30,000 on. I'm a bartender at this.
Which
I
is
just get out.
Huge.
Oh my God, it was huge.
Commercial money was way better, huh? Like 5-10 years ago.
it's still better than a one-day guest star on a great show. Did you read the whole thing about how...
They're fucking with the guest
star. There's no money anymore. No. It's crazy, dude. It's crazy.
God, dude, I'm going to have to start selling my urine. I mean, I'm
the
sorry.
Golden
my
ages.
Ovaries. I meant my ovaries.
Well,
sorry.
See, no, you're... Because you're talented comedy guys and stand-ups and podcasts. You're a conglomerate. But
these
the people who just came here
themselves.
To act, people who came to act... It's not a great
You can't
time.
Just do one thing.
No, you have to be out hyphenate.
Mm-hmm. So what would you play in the SeaWorld commercial?
I played the guy who watched Shamu jump. Oh. I have a clip of it somewhere where it's like me, and I'm holding a girl on a bridge, and this is all. I just went, and my eyes went up as I watched Shamu jump and splash, and it ran everywhere.
So no words.
Not a one.
Isn't it amazing?
Those are called MOVs, right?
Yeah.
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 Isn't it amazing, though?
MOW.
Whatever.
MOS?
MOS, because without sound, it's German. Without sound.
But like, it's just fascinating to me that they can call, you know, 150 people to literally do that, to look up at a whale and gasp, and then they can just pick one out, and they have you audition, they have you do it like four times. Yep. You're like, no, we can all do this.
I know.
Just pick one.
Also, on that given day, there were probably 20 other dudes that could probably have done it fine, but maybe 8 of them like had some shit going on, and they're just look up and noticing a whale that wasn't there was shitty that day, and they were like, "Well, fuck, man, I was like, my girl was like breaking up with me, or like whatever." Like, but your look up was great. Also, you didn't give a shit. You don't know what you were doing.
I didn't know what I was doing.
But maybe
I look
also,
back at it now, it's pretty bad. I'm like, but I look at some of my early, within like 2 weeks after that, I auditioned for a speaking part on Renegade with Lorenzo Lamas, which was my first television appearance.
Drink
and I
four
actually,
if you're playing at home anytime Lorenzo Lamas is
Lorenzo
Lamas.
Oh,
shit.
My scenes
fired.
Were with Bobby Six Killer. And
so cool.
I watch it now and I'm like, I can't let him go, mister. He's with Bobby Six Killer. Like, it's hard to watch. And then I didn't work again for like 2 years. I did a couple down. I booked a bunch of jobs in San Diego because in San Diego, and luckily back then, if you came here, it was hard to get a SAG card. So I actually came to town with a few credits and a SAG card, even though I didn't know how to act whatsoever. And so I moved up here and I was like, I couldn't get arrested. People were like, you're in what? So I joined Acme and started doing sketch. And then.
And that helped your.
Couldn't get auditions. And then somebody came and saw me there. I got Friends out of there and I got, I think, Will and Grace. Somebody saw me.
Yeah, who did you do on Friends again?
They tried to hook me up with Jennifer Aniston. What's funny is the dude, we were two of us, we're both trying to hook on Jennifer Aniston. He now is a huge producer for The Amazing Race, the other guy. And I laugh all the time. He's like, I go, dude, now you're fucking producing The Amazing. He's got like 10 Emmys or something.
It's like now you probably could actually get Jennifer Aniston.
You can totally get Jennifer Aniston now.
You can make that happen for yourself.
How was that whole experience, Friends? I mean, this was...
I was terrified. The whole week I wish I could go back and do it again, but it was... There was so much pressure.
Was it already a hit at the time?
They were on the cover of Rolling Stone that week.
It was a hit at the time.
The set was closed. Yeah. There was security everywhere. They were very cautious about talking to us. Jennifer Aniston was the only one who was more outgoing than everybody else. Everyone else was nice, but, you know.
We get it.
Matt Perry was having his issues at the time.
You hate David Schwimmer is what you're trying to
say. Schwimmer, he's a total. No, he was. They were all nice. She was very nice. They were all nice, but they were guarded because I think they'd been burned so many times in the press. And the show was, they took it so seriously because they would do a joke and the audience, it wouldn't go quite great. And they'd go, God, and they'd come back and they'd rewrite. Mm-hmm. You know, you've been to those things. And it's like, and so as a guest, you're just like, holy shit, am I going to get fired? Yeah. All week long, I was like, I waited for the phone call to get fired. I'm going to get fired.
Right, because the way you see how they work, you're like, wow, if I do my one line and it doesn't get a monstrous laugh, I'm like, get this guy out of here.
And you don't know any better at that time. I didn't know what I was doing. I was like, I'm going to get fired. I was really terrified.
Did anybody pull you aside, did James O. Brooks or Aniston pull you aside and go, look, if you just get nervous, just stare at my tits? Or did somebody say something that was like comforting? I'm being serious. Did somebody like... Because everyone...
Or
an acting teacher or somebody like...
Luckily, I had the other dude. There were two guests in the scene, and so we commiserated with each other. And each day we'd come back, and my line would change, or I'd have his line, and he'd have my line. Every day, the script changed. And we only had like 3 lines in the whole thing, and every day it would change, and I'd be like, this isn't working. Jesus. And then we shot it, and I was like, oh.
Live audience.
I was terrified. Live audience.
So dope.
It was a little scary.
Of course.
But I didn't – also, I wasn't a stand-up at the time. I didn't have any chops. I didn't know what I was doing. I just fell into this thing.
And then from all that, what made you finally do stand-up?
Because I was doing a lot of improv, and then you realized you couldn't make any money at improv and sketch. None. I actually got close on, like, Mad TV, I got really close on, and on Whose Line Is It, I got really close on.
Oh, shit. You would have been great on that.
I couldn't sing.
Oh, right.
They kept us till, like, all these kept us, and it was down to a small group, and then they would go, okay, we're going to do some song improv, and I was like, all right, I'm gone.
You're like, Danny See you guys later. Boy!
They go, not this one.
Oh, yeah, man. You have to actually be able to do it.
The pipes are blowing. Yeah, no, then, not today?
Let me do my whale look, too, just to put a button on this. Wait, I was looking through your IMDb earlier, and it's fucking long. One of my favorite things on there is Saved by the Bell, The New Class.
That's the first show I shot in L.A.
Holy shit.
Yeah. With also Sarah Lancaster and Screech. Screech, mm-hmm. What's his name?
Dude, 94.
The guy that stabbed a guy.
Yeah.
Screech stabbed someone?
Yeah.
You know the story?
He went to jail.
He's in jail right now.
No way.
Yeah, because he stabbed someone in a bar on Christmas Day.
Well, his timing was terrible.
It's a Christmas miracle. Screech stabbed me.
Actually, it's a great day. There's less police that day.
You're right.
It's a way rob a bank.
Also,
that's
no one's expecting Screech to stab you on such a special.
I feel bad for him because, listen, you brought up through that. They didn't make the money you think they made.
Fuck no.
That show came and went, and then it got put into syndication without residual deals because I think it was a non-union
thing. They didn't make
and
shit,
and then it blew
dude.
Up because I shot Mark Paul Gosselaar's new show.
Truth be told. Nice. Yeah. With our buddy Tone Bell.
Tone's the best. Yeah. And so was Mark. They were great. But he, you know, I didn't ask him any questions. But finally, he started to talk a little about stuff. And it was really interesting. These guys were kids. And I've worked on a bunch of these kid shows. And, you know, they blow them up like, oh, you're going to be a huge star. You're not. And here's the other thing. You're not going to have an education. No. These kids, there's a set teacher, and between takes, the set teacher's like, hey, do you want to run that chapter, that history chapter? And the kids are like, not right now.
No, kind of doing lines right now.
And the teacher's worried about getting fired by pissing off the kids. So the teacher, yeah, whenever you get a chance.
Oh, man.
I mean, we were in school for 8 hours a day. These kids are like, yeah, they're running a lesson here and there. And sure, some Natalie Portman or Jodie Foster get out of it, but it's a rough.
Most of those kids are just like, fuck it, bring me a fruit by the foot and stop trying to teach me algebra.
Saved by the Bell, A New Class, those kids were divas.
Really?
I'm totally blowing people up. Is this bad today?
No, this is great. About
it. Well, but then at the same time, you can understand because they're coming in to Saved by the Bell, A New Class.
Right.
They've seen all the success from
they
the
booked
previous
that job,
cast.
They're
like,
they were told. They were all told.
The sophomore album, and they're like, oh, yeah.
Well, you know, even on My Boys, there's nothing like when you're a series regular, the laughs you get are rich. Nothing you say falls flat. Yeah. It's crazy. You've been to those table reads. You go to a table read, it's like the guest nobody laughs at, but then so-and-so says a joke that everyone knows isn't that great. It's like, oh!
Wow. Does it fuck with your perception of what's...
Oh, you start to think everything out of your mouth. Yeah. It's fucking genius.
I mean, I know Adam could talk about it according to Jim, but when I was a guest star on a little show called Sam and Cats on the Nickelodeon Network.
Sure.
That was a sitcom, allegedly. And
please, you've done it before, but please.
I've done those shows, please. That's a good week, man.
Nickelodeon, right? Sitcoms?
Yeah, Nickelodeon.
What were your lines again?
I didn't speak English, or any other language. So literally my line was, eat the bak, u der vak der vits de ku. So,
he'll never
give me my paycheck. Roll in the Brinks truck.
That's pretty funny.
Getting paid.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, I got.
So nobody laughed at that in the table read because you weren't a series reg.
No one laughed at that. But then Ariana Grande says like, what? I don't remember anything.
Right?
Ariana, you are the best.
Fucking bitch.
Couldn't be truer.
Yes.
Oh,
and it's a false sense of confidence because, I mean, in the back of my head, sometimes I would say jokes on shows and be like, that's not that funny. But people would laugh uproariously and you're like, hey, can we? And they go, no, it killed in the table read. Exactly.
Right. That's why we're worried about
it. We need to fix it a little bit. How many? We've been to table reads where it just destroys and then, you know, or I've seen it the opposite way where it's weird. You're capturing it on film. Sometimes it clicks, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes the editor, if it's not edited, you know, comedy, it's timing. If they don't hold on the look for one second, they cut away. I did this take in My Boys where I had to drink this whole glass of wine. Like I had to chug this glass of wine. And so I did three takes and I chugged. It was grape juice, but it was a huge, like, pint-sized glass, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when I saw it, they cut away halfway through the glass to show something else. And I was like, to me, I was like, why would you cut away?
That's half the joke.
Half the joke is the take.
Yeah. Well, and
but once you shoot it, it's out of your hands, man.
Yeah. And every set I've been on, everyone just tries to, like, cut away all the setups and just keep the punchlines. It's like, no, the punchlines only work because of the setups.
I agree.
Yeah. And now when you're...
It's a weird medium, though, isn't it, man?
Oh, it's insane. Now, when you're on that set, like, because Jim Gaffigan was on that show.
Yeah.
And he was big, but not the monster that he is right now. Like, it is... Like, seeing him on that show, did you know it all? Did you, like, oh, that guy's going to...
I knew him. Here's what's funny about stand-up, too. I'll tell you this. Is like, you guys are pretty well-known comics.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right? But in the business,
we're doing
like,
right.
The Academy Awards are coming up. They haven't heard of any of us.
Nope.
They haven't heard of Gaffigan.
Right.
If you talk to Brad Pitt, he'd probably go, I don't know. None of those guys...
Yeah.
Like, there's a handful of comics who have transcended it through their own shows or something, but we know a billion comics who are fucking geniuses and great, but we're not known. So when we book the show and they go, hey, I go, who's playing the brother? They go, Gaffigan as a comic. I was like, are you shitting me?
Yeah.
Because I was a huge, I'm a huge Gaffigan fan.
Well, how could you not
He's razor sharp. It's not a wasted word. It's so brilliantly funny. None of the rest of the cast knew who he was.
No way.
And that was then. And he wasn't huge, but he was pretty big.
He had done a couple of Conan specials.
Oh, he'd done a lot.
The Pale.
Beyond the Pale.
He had his own show, Welcome to Brooklyn. He had a bunch of different shots and stuff, and they didn't know him.
That guy's fascinating because he has what, six kids?
Five right now, I think.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Can you imagine with two? Can you imagine three more?
No.
With way busier of a schedule.
Way busier. He's such a great here's what I give him credit for too. He also works really hard. Like, I never worked as hard as he did.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in between takes, he was writing and doing social media, and he's reaching out to his fans and talking to people. And I was like, I'm gonna go play ping pong, but that's who I am. I'm not that guy.
He's
a workaholic, but it shows in his act because there's not one wasted word.
If there was a stat for comedians, it would be like I'd say like laughs per minute.
Laughs per minute,
and Gaffigan would be
huge,
way out of the park. Like, he'd be dominating all of us. It's nuts.
He to me is like Dangerfield was like that.
Yeah,
like Dangerfield was like just a machine gun of da 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 da. We would be like, oh my god, how does he even remember all those jokes in order?
Right.
Sometimes
first of all,
remember those.
Because you're like stories.
Yeah, so I'm like, and sometimes I forget how to get from one story to the next. He's going from one joke to second joke 100 times in like 20 minutes. I know. I don't know.
I love you mentioning the not wasting a word, because that's – I heard that from – somebody maybe pointed that out to me about George Carlin. And when I was – I'd say about 4 years in, I'm in nine now, and it got me very cognizant of like – how much I was, you know, and I would ramble on stage to like work out a joke, but like then I would go back and watch tapes and then seeing even guys like Burr who seamlessly riff, but he's still, everything is calculated. He's not wait, and it really is a game changer of a difference, cutting the fat on stuff. And not saying that you have to be word perfect, but like know your shit, know what you're saying so well that you don't, but also, you know, that you don't ramble so much, but also like giving yourself the opportunity to ramble so that you can like discover more is great. But like,
I'm a rambler. And sometimes I fight it. I watch it and I'll watch it and go, what? That sentence doesn't get a laugh.
You cock block the actual punchline because you put in too many syllables.
Too much time. And the truth is, in my brain, I'm like, well, the audience won't follow me. And the truth is, the audience will go with you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They know exactly where you are. You don't need that setup line. I was at the bank. Nobody gives a shit. What's the premise of the joke?
Sure. One of my favorite quotes ever is Mark Twain saying, if I had more time, I would have written you a shorter book.
Yes.
And
that's such a great quote.
That just kind of sums it up. You're like, oh, yeah, trim the fat. Get all the crap out of there.
Except back in the day, like Dickens, those guys were paid by the word, right?
So they were like, I would have written you,
those guys
written you a longer book.
Word. So that's why some of those early books, like Moby Dick, are crazy long, because they were paid by the word. Yeah, I would have written you a longer book.
And just like that, one of my favorite quotes is a Scottie Pippen quote. He said, I probably should have listened to Michael a year ago when he said that Charles will never win a championship because he doesn't show any dedication.
Good quote.
It has to do with the fact that he wasn't with a team that won. I love it when these team sports guys are like, yeah, Marino didn't win. Marino's one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play football.
You think?
Yes, of course he is.
Absolutely.
Jim Kelly.
I only know Marino from Ace Ventura.
I know him from those glove commercials, but nothing else.
Yeah. Isotoners.
I love it. It's a team sport. It doesn't matter.
I will fight anyone that says John Elway is not the greatest quarterback of all time.
Jesus.
I will.
Get your gloves on.
I'll fight you.
Did you watch that Elway to Marino the draft?
So good.
Elway's, I mean, he's
the best.
Had he been on the 49ers, they might have won two.
Give him Joe Montana's offensive line. Give him that.
I will say this about Peyton Manning. I think that if Peyton Manning and Brady had swapped for their careers for the years, I think Manning with Belichick still wins five or six. I feel
easy.
easy, right?
Yeah,
like,
I think so.
The beauty of those quarterbacks is they just don't make – like Brady, the first Super Bowl we won, he just didn't make a mistake. Trent Dilfer, didn't Trent Dilfer win one with Baltimore or whatever?
Yeah, he won with Baltimore.
You know what he do? You don't cough the ball up, dude. Let the defense win the game. That's happened many, many times in the Super Bowl. That's what Manny's going to do this weekend because his skills have diminished, but their defense could win the game.
That's what I'm hoping.
I know. It's going to be good. It's going to be fun to see
how
the
do you
play
cover game. Gronkowski? Who does it?
As long as the three of them, once they all came back. Had that team stayed healthy, the Patriots, they might have run the table this year.
Oh, easy.
They were loaded.
I want to know what you went through last year. And I will. I've discussed already
with Seattle.
What I went through. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Because I want to know because every one of my Patriot fan friends all said, "Hey, I can't believe we all were like, oh, they're going to run it in with Lynch, and we'll have less than a minute with Brady." Which, by the way, people forget that.
That's what we thought.
You guys probably would have marched down the field. Our defense was so beaten up.
Yeah,
dude.
Maybe.
And Brady was on fire, man. But anyway,
why I was surprised he didn't do the time very well with the clock even before that interception.
Pressure was high and people just fucked up. Well, but what were you?
I don't care. I had two little babies at the time. My babies was due that week or the next week or something. So I
like football.
And I've gone through it all. Like, man, when I was in my 20s, like.
You cared.
When the Red Sox lost to the Mets in 86, I punched, fucking broke walls. Like, we destroyed things and lit shit on fire. That was Buckner, who, by the way, I've met since then. And,
no way!
And I hugged him and I cried. I teared up next to Bill Buckner when I hugged him and took a picture.
No shit.
Yeah, and I used to lose my shit. Lakers, Celtics, mother,
that's right. You're a fucking Celtics fan, too.
Any Boston fan now who complains about anything, we've won three World Series in the past decade.
Two Stanley Cups or one Stanley Cup?
One Stanley Cup. One Stanley Cup. NBA championship.
Yeah.
Four Super Bowls.
It's like,
in 50. I'm like, dude,
just
calm
down.
Pretty good.
Yeah, you're doing all right.
So I was watching at a friend's
party. And
you're
the home of Dunkin' Donuts,
I went to
for
a friend's
sakes.
Party. Exactly. Some of the give a shit about anything. But still, Boston guys like, can you fucking believe it?
Yeah, but
like,
you have to. That's what part of being a Bostonian is, I feel like, is bitching about. No?
It's like we've won more than any other city in the country. How much more do you want, you greedy bastard?
Well, that's
when we were
going to
lose, I was like, when we won it, I was like, oh, that's cool because the two times with the Giants were fluke losses. Like the helmet catch.
And then the toe tap catch.
I mean, come on. Seriously. Where you're like, wow, that just happened. Really? Yeah. So this one, I was like, wow, that one just happened.
Yeah.
Really? In
we
the
got
opposite.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got one. I got one.
After you thought you weren't going to get it because, was it Lockett? Or who made the catch where it was like juggling?
Jermaine Kearse.
Yeah. Yes. Jermaine Kearse made that juggling, holy shit catch. And you're like, fuck, that's the helmet catch.
That was
again.
The David Tyree.
Well, you know, the first one was the tuck rule. I was already leaving the parking lot of O'Brien's. My buddy Scott Kramer comes running out. He goes, they're reviewing it with the Brady tuck against the Raiders.
Yeah, yeah.
I go, what's there to review?
Yeah, he fumbled.
It's a fumble.
Right.
And I come back in and they go, no, it's a forward pass. I go, all right, we'll take that. But even to this day, I'm like, we lost that game.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah.
The year we were undefeated into the Super Bowl, we actually lost to the Ravens earlier that year in the end. I mean, there was a couple. It's like I love sports. I'm definitely watching, but
sure.
I love guys who are like, you know,
well, and
let it go, man.
So you have to remind yourself of that.
Yeah.
You have to remind yourself to not be the guy that – because the last thing you want is for the Pats to lose, the Red Sox to lose, and then now your kids see the Red Sox lose and go, oh, shit. That the Red Sox lost and Dad's coming home.
Right.
Like, you don't want your kids to
and
think
for
that.
Sure. And you also want to ring it in now because you don't want to be that dad at the fucking ballpark screaming at, like, a 9-year-old because, like, you know, your kid got the game the hit that put you on top and now, like, some other kid is blowing it on the mound.
I've definitely mellowed. When I was younger, I was, like, we would play beach volleyball down there. I'm like, come on, man, you got to get that.
But that's also why sports are great, man, because, like, that competitive craze is.
I lost it. I lost it, man. I'm like, we go for a pickup game, and some guy chops some guy down playing soccer, and you're like, dude, none of us are going pro. Just what are you breaking his ankle? What is wrong with you?
What about in ping pong? If we played ping pong, would you get a?
Yeah, I'll fire it up. I'll fire the shit out of ping pong.
I'll toss a paddle. I'll fucking judo chop you with a paddle.
But the problem is with Boston is that people hate our guts. I mean, we are.
They really do.
They hate us. Well, so it's so they're funny looking because, for a reason to hate us.
Well, you gave us wanted you to win so bad. Like, everyone was rooting for the Red Sox.
Yes.
And then you won, and then you're like, okay, now tone it down.
Tone it down.
Now don't win for another 8-7 years.
Yeah. Ortiz going to retire. This is his last year.
Is he?
Yeah.
He's going to go. He's going to go on his that tour, like the farewell tour. The
same way the rocking chair, yeah, the Jeter chair.
Yeah.
What do you? Let me ask you because Pete Rose should be in.
Yeah.
Clemens sure. should be in.
Sure.
Barry Bonds should be in.
Should he?
Yes. Of course. He's one of the greatest ball players
then
of all time.
Just take away his home run record, please.
Well, you put an asterisk next to it. Like, it's no, the whole
that's
era.
An asterisk.
Brady Anderson went from 3 home runs to 56 home runs the next year.
Brady Anderson.
Come on.
Is
and then went back down to 6.
Being.
I mean,
I met that guy at a party at USC once, and I he told some crazy Cal Ripken stories, and he was fucking a chick that was in my theater class. And she's the reason he came, and that was awesome.
Giambi came.
In more than one way.
Giambi used to come into the bar down on Main Street.
Oh, get out.
Told some freaky stories.
Giambi.
He was like, yeah, whatever. Whatever came out of his body had to go back in because it had all the nutrients in it.
Yikes.
I think everybody gets that. Whatever came out went back in. Apparently. I don't know. I heard that. Through the grapevine. And there's nothing better than telling hearsay stories on the podcast.
Those are the best.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine how many from all of us hearsay stories? Like, how many people are going, this one time, dude, Jamie.
Jamie Taylor.
You don't think that those guys should... I mean, listen, it was that era. What are you going to do? You can't isolate certain guys from that era.
I just think that around every plaque, like, the same way you have, like, the... Was it the... live ball era or whatever, like you describe it, like, okay, this player got in from the steroid era, like, just right. So we all know, all right, Clemens was on roids, but he was pitching and striking out other guys that were also on roids,
right?
So I say that just
yeah.
Also, it's an entertainment roids. Sports are entertaining.
Listen, exactly,
like, right. Giraldo used to say this a bit about, he's like, I want, you know, Bonds to just come out as one big chest muscle and fucking hit as many home runs. And then he's like, and then they're taking these. Bit. And then he's like, they're taking, what do you say? He goes, they're taking all these awards away from athletes for hitting home run, for using performance enhancing drugs. He goes, Whitney Houston, no one's taking Grammys away from Whitney Houston for using crack cocaine.
Right.
You know,
which is so perfect. It
yes.
just perfectly sums it up because we forget it is at its core, sports is an entertainment.
Absolutely entertainment.
That's
and
it.
Even Pete, I mean, I guess the gambling thing is that another, but I mean, you have the most hits in the history
of baseball.
What did
he gamble on? He gambled on like a game of Go Fish and some
they
Uno?
They said he gambled on his own team, or they said he gambled on baseball, but and he's a lunatic, but he's still one of the greatest players of all time.
The most hits of all time. No
all
one's going to touch that.
No one's going to touch it.
Wow.
Oh, what a bummer. And you know what?
How do you not in the Hall of Fame? It's the Hall of Fame. He's famous. He was one of the greatest players of
what
all
time. What if they just, like, what if he's on his deathbed and they, like, come in and they're like, hey, man,
you're out. You're still not in. Sleep tight, Prince.
Oh, that would be the fucking worst.
Just
dude.
His final words.
Oh my
You're
god.
Out.
They lean in it so dramatic. He's like, yes, yes, yes. No, man.
I still live in the All-Star game when he
for good.
He destroyed the catcher's career. You're out. No, this time forever.
They bring in an ump. Wait, they lean in and they're about to deliver it and they bring in an ump. And they have
you're out forever.
Oh, bummer.
I mean, they're taking it way too serious with them. Those
are,
fucking
yeah.
sports writers. Fuck those guys.
Not voting in Ken Griffey Jr. unanimously is the craziest thing I've heard.
Who do they do it because one guy goes, well, you can't be unanimous. Ken yeah. Griffey Jr. is one of the handful of greatest players of that era.
Mm-hmm.
Easily.
Well, he was the greatest of that era.
Well, it's,
he had a, he had
his numbers are the best, right? Is that right?
Name another. Did Cal Ripken Jr. have a fucking Nintendo game? Did Cal Ripken Jr. have a chocolate bar?
I don't know if that's an official stat. Is that a stat?
Hey, he
it's
had.
On, it's a little column on the very far right of the baseball.
I don't remember
card,
seeing fucking Mo Vaughn's home run derby baseball for Super Nintendo.
No one's touching Cal Ripken's record.
No one.
No. That, is anybody even happened. Like within 1,000 games of him or something?
Nah, how many games did he play? Like
2,400.
Yeah. That's insane.
And I like that he could have played more, but just one day he was like,
I'm done.
I'm going to sit out.
And then you know what he did? He just, like, at the game, he just paraded around like he did a lap and waved and shook hands. I was like, dude, anything you do, it's my same stance on The Price is Right. When you get your name called and people just do the same shit, Pam from Wisconsin, come on down. Jiggle, boom, boom, titty, fatty. She gets all the way down to the front row, right? Everyone does that. You know, and she
titty,
says,
titty, boom, boom?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Titty, titty, boom, boom, jiggle,
it
fatty.
It was one of Dick Van Dyke's classic movies that really doesn't get talked about enough.
It was very racist for the time.
Jiggle,
it was a racist
boom,
Dick Van Dyke
fatty.
Movie.
Yeah.
And by the way, Boom Boom Fatty is playing at the Troubadour next week.
Sure.
And so they stumble down, and they out with the same fucking overly surprised look, and it's like, dude, do anything. They said your name. You can do whatever you want. They're not going to go, come on down, and then like you fucking do like a double dick sucking motion. They're not gonna go, I mean, go back up. You're already on your way down, dude. So Cal Ripken, I was like, dude, yeah, parade around, but baseball was, this is never gonna happen again. You have the stage. They're not gonna stop the if Cal, like, I don't know, man, like, I mean, help me out here. Like, what could he have done that they would have not?
Do a somersault.
Okay.
Something
Jamie,
like that.
You got a better example?
Well, I always felt bad for Billy Ripken in that situation. To go like,
maybe bring
man,
out Billy.
I barely made the pros, and my brother's like the greatest player of all time. It's like, that's like Tom Hanks' younger brother.
Or who's his younger brother?
He's got a brother.
Like Rob Hanks?
Yeah, it's...
No, but he's swimming in VO money. I heard he does all of the Buzz Lightyear...
they go, hey, you sound like Tom
Woody.
Hanks.
Yeah.
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 There you go.
It'd be weird to get into a profession where you're like, your brother's like the greatest... of all time.
How many? Yeah, let's go through real quick before we wrap this up. How many
Swayzes?
How many brothers? Dude, there's got to be a Danny Danza somewhere who's just like, you know what, man?
I just won't let Danza go.
I was a better actor, and then Tony got Taxi, but I was writing my own show called Shuttle Van.
Well, Rob Lowe's brother, Chad Lowe.
Chad Lowe.
That's real.
Well, even he's a good guy.
I mean,
he's a director now.
We talked about sports. Freaking Cooper Manning.
I was going to say him too. That's a great pull, Brad.
Eli Manning.
He was the first one.
Yeah.
And everyone said he was the best. That's what they always say.
They should put a whole show of brothers, right?
Cooper Manning.
You've got Cooper Manning. You've got Chad Lowe. You've got Ben Savage.
Frank Stallone.
You've got Frank Stallone.
Frank Stallone.
He plays at Vitello's like once a month.
Shut up.
We should go. We
I
should
did a
go.
Show at Vitello's a long time
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, I've done a show. I lived there. Vitello's is great.
Should we go heckle Stallone?
No, we should go watch Frank Stallone. Yeah, he does like a little nightclub-y song, and
does he do
take
like,
it back, do-do-do-do. Doesn't he do all some of the songs from Rocky?
Oh, really? Does he do that, or does he do, like, the American Songbook? Does he do, like, Frank Sinatra songs, or?
I think he's a very good singer. He's kind of a Sinatra kind of guy.
Does he sing Boom Boom Jiggle Titty Fatty Fat Fat Titty?
I think that's his big closer. And it's odd, because it's fireworks, and it's inside this small club, and it's very dangerous. If I were you, sit near the exit.
Yeah.
Just sit near the exit.
I mean, pretty soon it's going to be Jeb Bush, because he's going to be like, wait, you're not president?
By the way, has anyone had a more catastrophic collapse of a family than Jeb Bush?
Yikes.
Boy.
Yeah.
But you didn't get it until you, like, I didn't really, I knew of him, and then all of a sudden you saw him kind of talk at a podium, and you go, oh, wow, that guy's really boring.
Right?
Like, he's terrible.
How do you even get that far?
That's why they put the exclamation point.
Yeah, that's
his campaign slogan is, Jeb!
Jeb!
It just has an exclamation point at the end of it.
That's so odd.
That's not a campaign. That's not a campaign slogan.
Jeb!
Like,
wait, is that really?
Yeah, that's his
campaign slogan. Jeb! Exclamation point. Not make America great again.
Not a chance. He's
not
gone,
hope
right.
and change. Just Jeb!
Jeb!
That's so fucking country bumpkin.
That's it.
Which is funny for a nice rich kid from Texas oil money, right?
Yeah,
right.
Fuck.
Yeah. All right.
With the gentleman C up at Yale. Isn't that what they get? Oh, excuse me. I was told I'm a legacy.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you'll get a C then. Don't worry about it. Just keep moving.
Yeah.
Get some cocaine.
Yes, just stick all those brothers in a house.
Real quick, do you have any thoughts on Trump?
I called it. Well, I don't know if it's going to happen, but Mike Butin and I had conversations, and I go, listen, I would never vote for him. I get what he's doing, and I love it because it's so much fun.
Yeah.
He's saying things that could never happen. We're going to build a bridge to Mars. Like, he could say anything he wants, and and then you go, well, that's not going to happen. That's what you're saying, but I say it's going to, and it happens. I feel like he's going to get the ticket. He's going to get the Republican ticket, I think.
Oh, yeah, but there's no way in fucking hell that he's going to win.
Nothing would surprise me. Nothing would. Yeah. Did you think Obama was going to win?
Yeah,
you did.
Yeah,
early on, when you were like,
dude,
are they going to vote a black guy in? I never thought for Chad still till it got, and it was pretty close.
It was close. No, it was the buzz and the hoopla and all the. I don't know.
He had Oprah.
Had the economy.
Touché.
I don't know if you remember, the economy crashed right beforehand.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And that was without that, there's not a chance in hell. But by that point, people were like grasping at straws to survive.
You're
and
right.
Were like.
Something
fuck,
else.
Maybe he knows. Maybe he does know.
Also, dude, come on, man. Like, he was so charismatic and so up like that.
The
Democratic National
president.
Convention, I think that last speech, I mean, that was like, dude, I've never been so moved since the ending of Cool Runnings, but it was like, it was so, you know, uplifting.
So are you hoping that you're still hosting America Fact versus Fiction on the American Heroes channel in like 20 years so you can then look back and cover the whole Trump thing?
I do, more so just so I'd get a paycheck. I mean, I like the money portion of that show, but I do love the show. I don't know if you guys, have you ever seen it?
No.
It's actually a really fun show. It's kind of like Mythbusters meets history. So you think you know Paul Revere's ride, but here's the real story behind Paul Revere's ride, or the Hindenburg, or Dillinger, or Fort Knox. And so we've done three seasons of it. We're starting season four here. Yeah, it's actually it's a pretty fun show. And I know everyone goes, "You're on this." You like, I don't really talk about it much, but people go, "You're hosting this show." And I go, "Actually, I am," and it's really
well.
Fun.
You're so fucking charismatic and likable. Oh. So hosting is you should be hosting everything.
Once I found out how much Ryan Seacrest made, I was like, you know what?
Oh, James, you are. I'll go on the record saying you're better than Seacrest.
I think
Ryan Seacrest is actually a brilliant host.
He is. He's brilliant.
I think next year you should host American Idol. The next season.
I'm in. Who do I call? That's what my mother would say. Why don't you call those people and get in on that show? You should be on that show.
My mom sent me an email once that said they're remaking Indiana Jones. You would be good as. And then she referenced a not even Indiana Jones, but like you would be good as, I don't know, fucking Shmi. No, that was Shmi is from Hook.
That was Peter Pan.
Yeah, the kid that with the heart pulls out of the.
Jesus,
that's the third
I don't know.
She referenced
somebody said you should be good for this guy. Like see, look into that.
The first year I moved here, my mother cut an article out of the Florida newspaper that said Sylvester Stallone to start $20 million studio in Southern Florida, and she just highlighted it. And then in the margin, she wrote, "Might want to get in on the ground floor." And just that was all that was in the envelope. I still have it at home. I was like, that's the best. Awesome, man. That's my mother. I was like, yeah. And so I called her, and she's like, yeah, you should call them. I'm going to call them, absolutely.
You know, I started this studio out there in Florida, you know, and looking for a studio head. I don't know if you want to be in it, Jamie Kayla.
Nice.
But I mean, I'm looking for guys. What do you think you could bring to the table?
Well, Sylvester, I feel like, you know, I'm a good Irish kid, and I would...
Irish? You guys are supposed to be lucky, huh? Like, you know, you get them in on the ground floor, and then you got a bunch of Irishmen. All of a sudden, I got potatoes and gold. I think that's right.
Here's the
it?
Show. It's me and Frank Stallone, and we're a detective team, right?
Hey.
But we're
I don't know if I like this show anymore.
You're too audible with your Stallone. I feel like Stallone's... every other word's got to be audible.
What are you talking about?
We'll all be Stallone. All be Stallone.
All right. Stallone's...
doing
three Stallones.
Quiznos. Delta Airlines.
Sounds like Cartman.
Wait a second, is that an Ed Catman?
Nice.
That's not an Ed Catman. Ma'am, he said he sounds like me. Wow,
I want to hear Brad's impressive. Five characters from the new hour. I want to hear them in a political debate.
Wow, that's a great idea.
Holy shit.
Yo, and let's be serious about this real quick.
How are you not running for president?
I was just going to ask, dude.
You want to know why? Honest to God, podiums.
God, if it weren't for podiums, you would take over the fucking world.
Fucking podiums, man.
Well, is there a way they could? I don't know. I don't see any solution to that. There's no solution to the podiums.
I mean, if maybe Trump could get the Mexicans to build me a stool and like they would pay for
and
it.
Who's gonna build it, Adam? Who's gonna build that stool? The Mexicans are gonna build that stool, Adam. They're gonna build it, and it's gonna be great.
It's gonna be huge.
Huge stool. You're gonna have a huge stool, Brad. Not that kind of stool, but it will be huge.
How far down do we have to go after black, female? I mean, it will have to be Latino.
Tranny. It'll be a tranny
president before a dwarf president? What do you think?
Ooh.
Oh, where
do you fall?
Ooh. Where on?
I mean, you know what? Dwarf is pretty far down the line.
Well, here's what's crazy. Only 56 years ago in 1960, Irish Catholic didn't stand a chance.
Yeah.
First one, Kennedy, where they were like, no Catholic's ever going to be president, and then Kennedy got it. So
I think the fact that he had that accent was bigger than the Irish Catholic.
His own personal accent?
Yeah.
Like no one else on earth
no one else.
I swear to God, Brad. Ich bin ein der Berliner.
What the fuck?
I am a German. That's from his famous quote.
Is it really?
Yeah, he spoke for Ich bin ein der Berliner. I'm a German.
Sounds like one of Brad's lines from Sam and Cat.
Maximal ich bin ein
Ariana Grande cunt.
Were you an alien? You really don't like Ariana Grande.
I was handcuffed to that bitch for a week.
I've heard horror stories.
Yeah,
but she can sing like a
bird.
Well, I mean, she can't do that. I mean, you really can't knock the girl.
That's the problem is you see these divas like who act horribly and you go, you're going to get yours. And then you go, nah, maybe you're not.
No, maybe you're not.
Maybe you're just going to.
Maybe assholes
actually,
do finish
you
first.
Got a really good fucking voice. You're going to make.
Good
you're
going
you. Nah, to do well. Never mind.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great if everybody just got their fucking comeuppance and some
yeah, oh, here comes the Irish angel.
God damn it. Listen, boys. Here's what we're going to do. Adam, you grab that fucking pipe bomb right there, boyo. Get in the car. Start her up.
Thanks for coming by, man. Did you have a good time?
This was,
dude,
we
you got to come back anytime.
I mean, I originally was booked on this show in 1999.
Yeah,
I was supposed to come on. I, honestly, sometimes it was my fault.
Well, I mean,
yeah, we went back and forth.
I mean, we had you booked all set to go, but then Frank Stallone called us and was like, I could do it.
I'm honestly flattered to be here. I think I was invited early on before you guys kind of reached uber success. And then you got, honestly, I see sometimes what you're doing, and I'm going, God damn, I'm never going to get asked. They're getting too big for me.
Oh, no way.
Too big.
Yeah, no way.
Too big.
No way.
Too big.
That is a sentence that has never been used to describe Brad Williams.
I love that you have your... you're going to have a huge stool, Brad Williams. Huge stool you're going to have, and it's going to be great.
Good night, everybody.
Show. That's the show.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or AboutLastNightPodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessime Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it?
Sweet.
Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.